Vasudevaya.
Could we all flip to page 1 and chant the Mangalacharan together?
Okay.
Right? The Mangalacharan means auspicious invocation. So whenever we start something good, we always invoke some mercy. Right? So page 1, we chant all the prayers together. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nimilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Mostute Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Shirade Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Ancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare.
So let's do I pick a verse of my choice? Okay, so let's do 2 verses. This is this is chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme, of the Bhagavad Gita, and text 5 and 6. They're kind of related, so let's, this is page 349. So this will be a short class comparatively, it'll be like 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. So let's try to cover both these verses. Okay. Antakale cha mameva smaranmuktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayah. Somebody wants to read? Antakale cha mameva smaranmuktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshaya. Antakale cha mameva smaranmuktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshaya. So we'll take the next verse and the translation together. This is verse 6. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam
yam yam vapi smaran bhavam
tyajyatante kalevaram
tam
tamevaiti kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavitah. Somebody wants to chant?
Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam
yam yam vapi smaran bhavam
tyajyatante kalevaram
tam tameivaiti kaunteya
sadatad
bhava bhavitah. So translation of 5 and 6 together. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
This is translation of text 5. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Purport. In this verse the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran or remembering is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Whenever we find the Maha Mantra in the purport, let's chant together, right? Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, Taror Iva Sahishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. Now, text 6. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Purport. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharat, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life. And so in his next life, he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer, he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thought during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thought at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life, one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the time of one's or at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental or spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. Gurve Gaurachandraya Radhikaya Tadali Krishna Krishna Bhaktaya Tadapattaya Namunama Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Ram. So welcome to this Bhagavad Gita class. Is it fine if we go 10 minutes more or over time?
Yeah,
yeah, great. That gives me some time now.
I'm
great. Okay, that's good. So, the reason I picked these two verses is because it's very, very relevant for all of us. The Bhagavatam says, Labdhva sudurlabham idam bahusambhavante manushya maratadam anityam apiha dhira turnam yatetana patetana mrityu yavat nishreyasaya vishayam khalu sarvatasyat. The 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 9, text 29, 11, 9, 29. The essence of that verse is that after getting many bodies, human bodies, one gets this human form. Sometimes we don't really understand this because all that we find around is all human beings. So we don't really get to know how rare it is. You're a human being. You are a human being. You're a human being. I'm a human being. She's a human being. Somebody who comes here is a human being. So many human beings. What is so rare about it? Well, if you see the total creation of Lord Brahma, the 84 lakh or 8.4 million creatures, the human form is just, 4 lakh, right? 4 lakh on 84 lakh is 1 by 21, which is just about 5%, right, mathematically. So 5% of the total creation is humans. Sorry.
No, there's so many, the amoebas and all those, they outnumber the humans by millions and millions.
Right.
So the human is probably like
2%.
No, there's billions and billions and billions of amoebas just in that one single body.
Right.
So it's like extremely rare.
Right. Okay, so getting the math right. Instead of 5%, let's say 0.5%.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So the point which we could, come to is the fact that human form is very rare. Very, very rare. Right? Why is it so rare? Because in this human form, we have this advanced consciousness. We have this intelligence of deciding what is right, what is wrong. What am I supposed to do? What am I doing? Right? The animals, the birds, the insects, you throw a stone at them, they never come and ask you, why me? Why not that animal? What did I do in my past life? Nothing. They just run away. But a human, as soon as you try aiming it, wait a minute. What did I do? So this understanding of asking WH type of questions, who, when, why, how, what, is the ability of man. Right? And if we don't ask the right questions, sahitya sangeeta kala vihina sakshat pashu puchha vishayana hina tranam na khadan na pijiva manam tad bhagadeyam paramam pashuna. If getting a human form, we don't ask or inquire about the reality of life, the scriptures describe, then what is the difference between animals and a human? The animals can't ask, so they're not asking. Justified. You can ask and you're still not asking. That's even more foolish. And what type of questions? The question that where I would get my food? The question that where I could stay? Well, these are things that naturally nature provides. There's a saying that God gives every bird its worm, but necessarily doesn't drop it in its nest. So God gives every bird its worm, for sure. When the ants walking on the floor, they get their sugar. The humans who are performing bhakti, won't they get their bread? Their food, or prasadam, as you'd say, offered bread. Right? It's just that we don't have faith. We think we have to put in our effort. What will God do? A lack of surrender. We don't ask the proper questions. Right? So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 6th chapter, he says, Kaumaram acharit prajnyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabham manusham janma tadapi arthadam adhruvam. He says this human form is not just rare. It's rare and it's temporary. It's not that it's rare and you have 100 years assured. No. It's rare and it's temporary. It can fall down anytime. No guarantee. It's possible that I'm giving this class and my body just falls down. Well, that's a good sign, but it's possible. Right? Parikshit Maharaj is sitting here on the banks and at the feet of Shukadev Goswami. Right? The very famous story of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj here had a curse that he would die in 7 days. Prabhupada, in one class, he said, Parikshit Maharaj had a guarantee that he would live for 7 days. We don't even have a guarantee of 7 minutes. He had 7 days, and what did he do? If we had 7 days of our life, what would we do in his situation? Maybe go for a world tour? Maybe try to eat all the best delicacies possible? Wear all the best clothes possible? But he gave everything up. And he thought, these 7 days, let me just devote for asking the right questions. Let me prepare myself for death. Sometimes people run away from this concept of death. But it's not as scary as we think. We think, oh, it's a very scary concept. Actually, according to the Bhagavad Gita, death is nothing. What is death and what is birth? We are spirit soul. This is a body. As soon as the spirit soul enters the body, that process is called birth. When it stays inside, that's existence. And as soon as that spirit soul leaves the body, that's death. Right? Nayanam chindanti shastrani, nayanam dahati pavaka. Krishna says, although the spirit soul enters the body, exits the body, it is still untouched by the body. So at the time of death here, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, whatever we think, it decides our next destination. I sometimes say in my classes that, you know, the 3D effect that people talk about, the actual 3D is our desires decide our destination. The desires decide our destination, 3D effect, right? So Prahlad Maharaj here is saying, Kaumaram acharit prajnyo, therefore, to prepare yourself at the time of death, don't wait when you're 70. Indians have this concept. You go to an Indian and you say, you perform bhakti. I'm too young, that's their response. I'm not that old. Because we, I don't know from where this concept came in that bhakti or spiritual life is meant for the old. That's not true. Those who are intelligent will start right away. Why? Because the aim is at the time of death, we have to remember Krishna. And we must always think at night when we go off to sleep, if I face death today, am I in a position to think of Krishna? If yes, well, you made it. Invariably, no. You have a long way to go. So we have to put in more effort. And if you actually seen these two purports, three times Prabhupada has gone a long way of writing the whole Maha Mantra. Three times completely in two consecutive purports. That's a lot. So Prabhupada is stressing this point that we have to start this process of bhakti as soon as possible, and it's not difficult. It's not difficult. It's not that you have to stay in the temple, or it's not that you have to stay outside. It's not that you shouldn't get married. It's not that you should get married. None of these will hamper bhakti. Bhakti has no impediment. You can practice at all costs, in all circumstances. Because bhakti is eternal. So Prahlad Maharaj is advising all his friends who are 5-year-old kids. He said, whatever the teacher is teaching you here, just forget everything. Now listen to what I have to say. Please start performing bhakti, Vishnu bhakti, Krishna bhakti as soon as possible. Kaumaram means from the age of 1 to 5. That's also practical because as soon as you see children hitting the age of 18, there's this extra horns which come up that we are very smart and we know this world, and the false ego is at the pinnacle. 18, 19, you don't want to listen to anybody. You are the king, you are the boss. So at that time, the consciousness is like cement. You can't even mold it. But at the age of 1 to 5, it's like clay. You can mold it the way you can. So parents are always advised, that age, give them Krishna bhakti. And you will see that the children will flourish. And Prahlad Maharaj is making this point. Never think that this body will stay with you forever. It is going to age. It's going to get diseased. And it's going to leave you one day. Right? Nobody prays for malaria. Nobody prays for typhoid. Nobody prays for fever. We all get it. Is there anybody who comes to the temple? Oh Lord, I really want to fall sick. But it naturally comes. So similarly, happiness and distress in this world will come and go. But what should stay throughout is our bhakti. And the process of bhakti is very simple. So here, coming to the point, the first point that Prabhupada hammers is smaranam, or constant remembrance. If you see the program of the schedule of ISKCON that Prabhupada has given us, it's always to absorb our consciousness in Krishna. As soon as you wake up in the morning, you take a quick shower, you come down for Mangalarti. You stand in front of the deities and you drink the beauty of their form through your eyes. Right? When you're sleepy and you're rubbing your eyes, the best thing that can keep you awake is the form of the Lord. And in the association of devotees, you're singing the holy name. And most importantly, as Sitaram Prabhu was saying, it's very important to know the meaning of what we're chanting. And Prabhu would agree to the fact that when we know the meaning, it's more easier for us to focus our consciousness on what we're singing. Right? Sometimes as he was making this announcement, he said that most of us are singing, but how many of us know what we're singing? So Prabhupada has given this songs, he's given our verses and also the meaning. So we meditate on the meaning, right, and try to focus. Then we have this 2 hours of japa period from 5:30 to 7:30, right? When we sit one-on-one, when there are no cars gushing outside, there's no bells, you know, there are no phone calls, there's nothing in this world because everybody's sleeping, right? At that point, you sit with your japa bead and you focus on the sound vibration. You chant the holy name with your tongue and you hear it with your ear. Prabhupada said it's a very simple process, right? But it is very important. It's simple, but don't take it cheaply. Chanting Hare Krishna is very simple. Let's chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. See, we all can chant. Chanting with the tongue and hearing with the ear. Prabhupada said this is the process. Then we have the Srimad Bhagavatam class, where a speaker speaks from the Srimad Bhagavatam and we hear, right? We just sit and hear. And by hearing, we get everything. just by simply oral reception, right? Just by sitting and hearing, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtake. Simply by hearing the process, the message of the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, our heart gets cleansed. Then we have Krishna prasadam, the remnants that's offered to Krishna. And we eat that prasadam and we think, ah, this is what Krishna tasted. So constantly we are thinking of Krishna. Prabhupada taught us that even when we face with a calamity, right, we never crib and we never say that, you know, God is so bad and he's so judgmental that he did this to me. Instead, Prabhupada said, we have to think that God is so merciful. If I lost a finger, probably I would have lost the hand. And because I'm a devotee, he just took the finger away. So we are always very optimistic, right? And we don't see the bad side of life. So smaranam, this concept of remembering God in everything that we do is very important. Also, it keeps us very humble. For example, if you're doing some service and the service is going really good, we remember Krishna, that Krishna is actually using me as an instrument, right? We might be giving a Bhagavatam class, we might be giving a Bhagavad Gita class, but always the remembrance is, if Krishna speaks through me, then the thing is good. In the famous letter or the song that Prabhupada wrote, he said, "Oh Krishna, I am your puppet. You make me dance and I will dance." Right? So that is humility. So he's always remembering Krishna. 24-hour Krishna conscious. So this is very important. As soon as we start right from our childhood and make this our habit, then automatically at the time of death, we can remember. There is a verse in the Hitopadesha or general instructions or general good advice. The verse is, Angam galitam palitam mundam dashana vihina jata tundam vruddho yasi gruhitva dandam tadapina munchati asha pindam. Which means, when we get old, angam galitam, all our senses melt. We can't even write. We have Parkinson's, we have Alzheimer's, we have cataract, we need a hearing aid, right? All our senses melt. Angam galitam palitam mundam. The hair that we always flaunt in front of women when we were young, they're all leaving us. They're either turning gray or the field is getting barren. Angam galitam palitam mundam. Then the smile that you were always very proud of. Ah, everybody falls for my smile. Your 32 men army soldiers are all leaving your army one by one. You can't even speak properly. Then you have the artificial ones, right? And sometimes you forget them in a jar of water and you just walk out. And when people give you a look, then you realize, oh, I left my false. So he says, angam galitam, the senses melt, palitam mundam, your hair goes off, dashana vihina jata tundam, the tooth all start breaking and leaving you. Vruddho yasi gruhitva dandam, you always walked on two legs and now you need the third leg, the stick. Still, tadapina munchati asha pindam, still the pot of desires remains full. It doesn't reduce. So we always have this desire. Some desire or the other. When we are young, we have this desire of playing. Right? Balavasta krida sakta, tarunavasta taruniya sakta, vriddhavasta chinta sakta, parabrahmani kopina sakta. One acharya writes, when we are a kid, balavasta krida sakta, we keep playing with toys. We love playing with toys. And when we grow old, we are almost an adult, we are a teenager. Tarunavasta taruniya sakta. If you're a boy, we get attracted to a girl. And if you're a girl, we get attracted to a boy. And if you're in the present generation, if you're a boy, you can get attracted to a boy also. And if you're a girl, you can get attracted to a girl also. So all permutation combination possible. So balavasta krida sakta. When you're a child, you're playing with toys. When you're a teenager, you know, you're looking out for happiness around. And when you're getting old, vruddhoyasi balavasta krida sakta, tarunavasta taruniya sakta, vriddhavasta chinta sakta. When you get old, you're always bothered by these worries. Will my son get a job? Will my daughter-in-law do this? Did my grandson come home? Did my grandson eat his lunchbox? Why is he getting late? Why hasn't he come home? You know, all these things. Different worries. I mean, you don't need a reason to worry, right? Worry itself is a worry. So, and then the Acharya says, in all walks of our life, we are always occupied with something or the other except God. So therefore, this practice of remembrance by chanting the holy name must be practiced right from the from childhood. We find Dhruva Maharaj, he was a child. We find Prahlad Maharaj, he was a child. And they all practiced in Mahabhagavat, right? The next point Prabhupada is making is the example of Bharat Maharaj. He explains how Bharat Maharaj was a very great king from whom India gets its ancient name of Bharat, because it was presided over by the king Bharat, Bharat Maharaj, the first son of Maharaj Rishabdev in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was a very great king. But when he was getting older, he resigned or renounced everything, went to the forest, started meditating on the Supreme Lord. His meditation was going very good. He was eating the fruits that naturally fell, celibate, easy, simple life, simple living, high thinking. But there he saw this very beautiful jumping golden deer. And slowly and gradually, he got attached to that deer. He who left his kingdom because they were unnecessary attachments came into the forest and got attracted to this deer. And he was always very attached and absorbed in serving the deer. Did the deer eat? Should I bait the deer? Is my deer sleeping? Is my deer awake? Where is my deer? Constantly deer conscious. And the deer one day died. And his pangs of separation increased multifold. Now when he was dying, what happened? Naturally, he remembered the deer. And here Krishna is saying, whatever you think at the time of death, that's what you become next life. So because he was although a great king, he thought of this deer and became a deer in his next life. Now in this life, as a deer, because he was a nice devotee in his previous life, he had this remembrance that, I left my kingdom, came to the forest, still got attached to the deer, and I'm a deer now. Therefore, in this life, I shouldn't make that mistake. As a deer, he was always sitting outside the hermitage of great souls. Nothing else. As soon as he was a baby deer in this life, he left his mother, father, everything. All his responsibilities, resigned as a CEO. He resigned from all his duties, came here and sat outside the hermitage of sages, hearing Harikatha and rolling in the dust of their lotus feet. They are chanting, hearing. Sometimes some prasadam they would put outside, eating. In dust, that life he was always very nice. But because he was not completely purified, he took one more life. In the next life, as Jada Bharat, he was now a pure devotee, right? And he was in the human form. So Prabhupada is making this point that whatever we think at the time of death is very, very crucial, right? Sometimes we wonder, why is this person handicapped? Why is this person having this problem? Why is somebody born as Bill Gates' son? And why is somebody, born somewhere else? You know, there are so many complexities. Not just karma, but also our consciousness at the time of death matters. Prabhupada in one purport writes, those who are very, very attached to their money at the time of death invariably become snakes coming, hovering over their ancestral property. If there are ancestral property which are dug, sometimes close to the house, right? You would have snakes guarding them. Prabhupada said, those who are very, very attached to their money at the time of death become snakes hovering over the ancestral property. Prabhupada in one point even makes this point, that at the time of death, you remember your mother, sister, wife, or daughter. There is more probability of you becoming a lady. But this is not a blanket statement, saying that all women thought of women in their past life. No. But this is possible. So the point that is made here is that our consciousness at the time of death is very, very crucial of our destination. Do we see ourselves in the dog form next life? Or do we want another human form and suffer different problems? Or do we just want to finish this as our last life and happily, blissfully go back to Vaikuntha? We are all young. We have enough time. And those who are supposedly not young are really perfect in their services. So they are still good. And those who are young have still a long way to go. So every day we can tell ourselves of these purports and remind ourselves how precarious life is. Our life is like a drop of water, right, on a leaf. How precarious is that? One wind and it's gone, just a drop. So anything can happen. I was reading an article of a South Indian actress, movie actress, getting a cardiac arrest at the age of 31. And I was using this point for the preaching, saying that see how precarious life is. You could be 31, you could be a celebrity, you could have made a lot of money, still you can die. Right? There are children who die in the womb, they're aborted. They haven't even seen their own mother. That's how precarious life is. So therefore, let's not waste. Let's take this Krishna consciousness not as part of life, but as life itself. The problem, the reason we suffer in this world is because we put our responsibilities first and serving Krishna last. We think Krishna has waited for so many lives. He will continue waiting. But my meeting cannot wait. It's important. Krishna, he's been waiting for 5,000 lives. I've been promising, oh yes, 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 and he's still having hope. Yeah, he has a lot of hope. But my meeting, it's very important. It's tomorrow morning. That's our problem. So every day, let's refocus. Let's put all our energy in chanting, hearing, and serving Krishna and his representatives to the best of our ability, to the best of our skill set, and also things out of our skill set, you know, which make us more humble. So let's chant the holy name, read the scriptures, worship the deities, serve all Vaishnavas in a humble mood, being the servant of the servant of the servant, and away from all blasphemy. Hare Krishna.
One more thing.
Sorry?
Taking prasadam.
Taking prasadam. Yes. Hariva. Wonderful. Yes. That's very practical. Wonderful. Wonderful. So if there are any questions or comments, please. You have like 2-3 minutes. Muktavandi Prabhu?
No, just one example Prabhupada used to give sometimes with President Kennedy. He was president from 1960 to 63. And he was young, relatively young, he was like in the late 40s, and he was very handsome, came from a very rich family, had a beautiful wife, beautiful children. He was physically strong. He was the president of the United States.
Right.
Yeah, Prabhupada gave him as an example of someone who had everything.
Right.
And Prabhupada said, in 1 second, it was all finished.
Right.
He went from having everything to
right.
That's it.
Right.
He was very famous and popular as a president.
Yeah, he was
right.
Very popular.
Sure. Right. Kennedy, president.
Oh, yeah.
So.
It was, yeah, it's a proper system.
Right. From some people say rags to riches. Here's an example of riches to rags. So how precarious life is. I mean, if Krishna gives us something, he can as well take it away. It's always good to be humble and keep serving. And one more important point which I missed is that all the things that we have, you know, after death, we have to start all over again. You could have a PhD in this life, right? And the next life you again start with A, B, C, D. You could be a Bill Gates this life. Next life you again start asking with nickel, dime and quarter, right? You don't carry anything. But Krishna gives a guarantee in the Bhagavad Gita. Little service you do, that carry forwards. And that goes ahead. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. So little service, it could be anything. It could be even offering a seat to a Vaishnava. It could be offering prasadam. It could be the most humble thing of even cleaning the washroom in the service or in the mood that this washroom also is a part of the temple where Radha Gopi Vallabha is staying. So everything, if we have that consciousness in the sense that how can I dovetail Krishna here? I am working in a corporate company. I am making lots of money. Yes, not wrong to do that. But let me keep some portion aside monthly so that I can support a temple or I can express my gratitude to Krishna. Or with that money, let me contribute in holding some festivals so that Krishna was giving money. Let me give a small portion back to him. So in that way, wherever we are, we can purify that existence. Even if we are married, if throughout the week we are busy, getting our family together on a Sunday to Radha Gopi Vallabha's temple, and all nicely congregate together, chant, dance blissfully, take prasadam. Even the family bonds go stronger than sitting together and watching television. Because in the television, you would have I want to watch this, I want to watch that. But in the prasadam, everybody wants to eat. Music, everybody wants to sing and dance. So Krishna attracts everybody. So in that way, whatever we are doing, we don't have to give it up. We don't have to run away from the situation. But being in the situation, we can keep Krishna in the center. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.